praying. I'm just sitting there singing and enjoying the words and the communing with the Spirit. And I go, oh, I don't have my mic on yet. I better go correct that. I'm supposed to be going up there next. So we continue on our journey through John. Can I take a drink? Anybody else thirsty? Oh, good. Some of you have your drinks here. Portraits of Jesus in John. Pictures, just snapshots of Jesus. No one's like him. Right? Throughout history, he is fully God, fully man, and he comes. We want to just gain pictures of who he is. Not physical pictures, obviously, but his character and what it says about him and what we can have in him. Today we're dealing with the water of life. How long have you gone without a drink? What's your record? Not wise to go too long without water. You had an experience where you've crossed the desert or gone for a long hike in the mountains and foolishly didn't take enough to drink, or you weren't near a stream. See some head bobbing there. You've experienced something and you go, wow, I should have done something different. I should have water along. Right? We can go quite a while without food, but we can't go very long without water. It's healthy to drink lots. When I worked in pools, I mean, I was born in Alberta, but lived down in Ontario for about 6 years. And I did work in swimming pools, paying my way through college and stuff. So those 4 months of off school were super busy. 14 to 16 hour days, 6 days a week, but got through college debt free. That's awesome. And some of those days tiling a pool, once I get tiling or grouting, I wouldn't want to quit while the stuff is wet, so just keep going and keep going. Once in a while, I'd push on too long, and I start to get a headache and whatever else, and come out of there just really thirsty. And I wouldn't take just a little sip like that. There's times where I'd come out of there, and I would guzzle 2 liters. That's not a healthy thing to do either. And then I'd get a bellyache. And then I learned, you know what? What really helps when you're thirsty? Ice cream. Because it cools your throat. So I would rip down to the convenience store or whatever and get an ice cream sandwich and just let it trickle down my throat before I grabbed my 2 liter of juice. And then I wouldn't guzzle it so fast. But, you know, just all a story to illustrate, we really do need water. And they knew that back in Jesus' time, too. But the weird thing is, sometimes we wait until we're walking across the desert to recognize just how bad we need it. Jesus says, come to me, all you are thirsty. And I want to explore this. Just a couple of verses. It says on your bulletin, it says verse 37. Well, I need 38 in there, and we will include 39. But there's a whole flow to this chapter that I hope you'll read later and just internalize what's really going on here. I just want to stick with these few verses, though. Verse 37. It'll come up on the screen. Verse 37 and 38. On the last day of the feast, so they're all gathered. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. The New Bible Commentary explains, I didn't know this, I spent far too much time the last few weeks researching this, but I'll try and summarize it. There was actually a religious battle going on. Because one group of religious leaders lived in town, and they started to institute some specific things into this, the great day, the last day of the feast, some specific things to ask for, that they would have enough water, because they needed it. And there become some real rituals surrounding this. And the other religious leaders are going, downplaying it and trying to get rid of those. They're saying it's distracting to what's going on. And a third group says, yeah, it's really distracting us from worshiping God and the intention. And so there's this battle going on. But they recognized fully that this was their lifeline. They needed this. And so there's a ritual connected with the need for rain for the following year. And they built in several of these rituals. When Jesus says, if anyone is thirsty, in verse 37, he may have been talking about Isaiah 55, where he says, come you who are thirsty, even though you have nothing to scoop with, you have nothing to offer, come anyways, because it's not provided. It's not about us providing for ourselves. It's him providing for us. So he may have been alluding to that, but I think he was challenging these rituals that were going on. There were some of these religious groups, though they were in the temple and meeting together, it became such a distraction. It was like the pagans crying out to their gods, hey, give me what we need. But not in a healthy way, not recognizing, right? It was in the way they called out that they thought God would answer, not because of who he is. And then he says, Jesus seems to be really challenging this, and he says he's likely offering a better alternative to the water ritual in what he's saying here. The idea of thirst is given a spiritual sense, so that, as he often does throughout this, the Gospel of John, in his teaching. He makes it clear, more clear in verse 38 and 39, makes it clear that this spiritual water is available only to believers, only those who believe in Jesus. It's not just general blessing upon everyone. So Jesus is the water of life. First, this couple of verses starts off, it speaks about desire. Jesus is the water of life. Do you have a desire for more of Jesus this morning? Not just that quenching, right, when you're really thirsty. But how long does that last? And you need another one, right? Whereas Jesus is the living water. Come to me. Let anyone who is thirsty have a desire. Do we recognize just how bad we need him this morning? Recognize we're in need of something. What do you desire more than anything? Right? There's some of us that are pursuing an easy life. We're pursuing getting our way or attaining things. Right? We desire that. Whatever, new vehicle, this, that, this future, the way we define it. But what we're sucking on, finding as our source of life, is revealed when we face things like disappointment. What or who do you turn to when you face disappointment? Or when we experience success, for some of us, that's the bigger, when we quit trying to seek Jesus, desire God, the spiritual filling. What do we do when we feel like we're not enough? Or we're not loved? Or we're not, you fill in the blank. Or we don't measure up. We recognize we have a need, but we don't even want to face that need. We want to turn it aside, squelch it, deny it, hide it. Why do we admit we have a need that we can't fill? Do we have a growing desire for that to be met and humble ourselves? Well, it speaks about desire, but it moves on. It speaks about destination, really. I just made it start with D, but it's more of a source. Where do you go when you recognize you have need? To who do you turn? Let anyone who is thirsty recognizes they have a need, come to me. Not the water ritual, not to some sort of fabricated thing, not to denying it. Come to me, Jesus says. Come directly to me. The source is of utter importance, total. It's the most important. When have you experienced Jesus' presence in the past? When you we'll use this one, and I can't walk around anymore. But he's the destination. He is the satisfying one. When have you experienced that? Can you remember back? How are you letting him and making him the source in your goal now? Or is there other sources you're trying to drink from, trying to find satisfying, other goals in life, and it's not him? We talk about Jesus being sufficient and satisfying. But are we living like this? Or are we living like he's not? Are we living like other things matter so much more? It speaks about where we go, the destination, to whom we turn when we recognize we're thirsty. It speaks about desire and acknowledging that. It speaks about the destination, the source that we turn to. It also speaks about doing. Come to me and drink. Just two words, but there's a responsibility on our part to respond. Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. It's been said, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. On the next slide. Right? Well, maybe another. Oh, that one shouldn't have got in there. Should be a picture there of a horse. I wonder if the horse says back, you can lead a human to knowledge, but you can't make him think. We all have need. And do we acknowledge it? Do we really recognize it? Do we turn to Jesus? Sorry, I'm still trying to walk around a bit. You know, we can religiously do our devotions like the religious leaders were doing their water rituals. But are we really drinking of the Lord? Are we experiencing him as the living water in our lives in an ongoing way? Right? We can come to church. We can go to youth group. We can go to Bible study. But are we really drinking in the Lord? Are we just doing some right stuff? And somehow, in our humanness, it can get disconnected. Are we really encountering God? Right? When we go to our devotions, oh good, I read my Bible, and then we go on with our day in our own power and our own strength, not really being refreshed. Have we met with God? Has he spoken to us through his word? Have we received it? Taken hold of it. Right? There's at least three things that we should be doing in our morning devotions where he allows us to drink of the Lord. Is there some lies we're believing? And is he presenting the truth that sets free? He's presenting it, but are we taking hold of those truths, countering the lies that have come into our lives? Are we repenting, turning from those things that don't align with God's good, pleasing, and perfect will in our lives, where we're going our own way? Do we repent of that? This should be daily if we're going to be drinking of the Lord. Are we obedient? When he says something, do we align with that and obey? Are we doing what Jesus commands? How are we coming to Jesus and drinking regularly? And then we wonder why, when we're in a situation or a circumstance, our response is not Christ-like. Well, we're not drinking regularly. You know, I really remember before I came to Christ, every situation would just throw me for a loop. And I was increasingly out of control. Because I was trying to live the Christian life. I saw it in other people's lives, people I respected. I wanted what they had, but I was trying to live the Christian life apart from Jesus. And I really remember that. Circumstances that should have been just mildly disappointing became, wow, my reaction to it was over the top. Admittedly, I still find that in my life at times. And it points out I'm not really drinking from the source. I'm just trying to live on my own. I drank back there, right? Had a drink 3 weeks ago, and I think I should still be all right. It's foolishness if we're going to try and drink on a sip a week or a month or whenever. Remember back when I prayed for salvation however many years ago, and that's the only, we're not drinking regularly. It's foolishness. Jesus says, come to me and drink. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and he challenges what's going on, just being religious. He challenges that. He says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. It's not only drinking when we're parched, right? Even unbelievers do that, right? They get into between a rock and a hard place, a really hard situation in life, and they go, God, save me from this, right? And it's not just trying to drink when we're after we're parched. Why do we choose to walk across desert after desert? It's foolishness. It's not the way and the truth and the life. It's not the way to abundant eternal life that Jesus has invited us to. He says, recognize your thirst right away. Come to me constantly. Recognize your need. Come to me and drink. Drink deeply of me. And go on, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Always, regularly, he's the source of life. Right? Even those of us who seek to minister, serve others in all sorts of ways, we can become conduits, right, of God's love, his grace, his mercy, and we're just passing it on. We're not just supposed to be a pipe, though. Passing it on to other people. Remember, we need to drink regularly. Otherwise, we burn out. Are we drinking regularly? Consistently? Enjoying the Lord? Drinking in his truth that sets free? Receiving his grace and mercy, right? Scripture says they're new every morning. And then we live as if, well, yeah, I had a big feast of it back in 2017. And I'm still trying to live off of that. Sometimes believers, we can live as if we don't believe in God at all. He's the water of life, and it flows up. It's something he does in us. The water of life speaks about delight. It's life sustained in an ongoing way, delighting in God every day. Healthy, vitality, strong, right? Those who drink enough actually grow healthy. Makes our bodies healthy and strong, just in a physical way. Are we drinking? Do we recognize our spiritual need is as real and more lasting than our physical is? On the last day of the great feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, right, it's only those who have surrendered, and we've talked about this before, it's not just a belief, here's who Jesus was, this is internalizing it, aligning with, letting him be Lord in our lives, that's biblical belief. Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow the living water. A couple chapters ago, I mentioned we'll be talking about Jesus as the living water here soon. And speaking to the woman at the well, pick up in verse 13 of that chapter. Jesus said, everyone who drinks from this water, speaking about the well, will get thirsty again. But whoever drinks from the water that I will give will never be thirsty again, ever. In fact, the water I will give him will become a well of water springing up from within him for eternal life. Sir, the woman said to him, give me this water so I won't get thirsty and come here to draw water. She was still a little confused even while she was encountering the Savior. And I said in reference to that, that Jesus replaces or is superior to the most of the cultic and historic symbols of Israel's faith. And like I said, they come up with some new ones recently when Jesus challenges them. And he says, everyone who is thirsty, come to me and drink. Patriarch Jacob was not only an ancestor revered by the Jews, but also by the Samaritans. He's talking to a Samaritan woman at the well. Although there is no Old Testament text that relates Jacob to this well, it was part of the region's tradition. The woman's question, therefore, about whether Jesus was greater than their ancestor Jacob, who provided the historic well, raised the issue of a common ancestry of the Jew and Samaritan. The Greek, ironically, expects a negative answer. But the question provided the perfect opening for Jesus to press on for his evangelistic, woman's spiritual needs, which were far greater than her physical, but she didn't understand that yet. Read our verses again. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone thirsts, do you have a desire for him this morning? Do you recognize your need of Jesus? Yes, for salvation. And yes, every moment, every day, in an ongoing way, recognizing our need. Let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. I want to read verse 39. Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus had not yet been glorified. And even about this, we can have rituals and traditions and different teachings, and we can fight about it. I don't think we need to answer whether there's more filling of the Spirit or if it's about being more yielded to the Spirit. Is this unique to the disciples since Jesus was with them and still had not been glorified? Or is it unique or common for all believers throughout all time? Does this describe something normative? Or are there other options, ways which believers grow in the Spirit and are being led? I don't know if we need to answer all of those questions, but he's tying this together. You're thirsty, come to me and drink. And he says this about the Spirit. Are we full of the Spirit of God? Is our character that of the Spirit? Right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. I've said it before. I recognize in circumstances where my reaction is not that. It's a strong indication I'm not drinking of Jesus. I'm just living out last week's drink. And then, oh, look at my character. Doesn't reflect his. I'm not drinking deeply of the source. And I'm not delighting in him. I'm not enjoying him regularly and consistently. On the last day, Jesus stood and cried out, if anyone's thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. My final point here is the water of life speaks about a divine work. It's something he produces in us. You're experiencing his work in an ongoing way that we're being so changed. Right? I mentioned before the pipe. Some of us live like that. We just want to be conduits and pass on. That's a great desire. But I think the Christian life is much more like a 45-gallon drum. Out of the fullness, when we're immersed in him, enjoying him, refreshed by him, out of the overflow, that's ministry. That's Jesus doing so much in our life that it bubbles over. The woman at the well does it. She leaves her bucket there, runs back to town, come and meet this guy. right? We can do evangelism training. We can do whatever else. But when God's really doing something in our lives, evangelism isn't something we need to do. I'm supposed to do. It bubbles out of us because we're so much enjoying Him. How can we not talk about Him? Have you ever seen a young adult with a new boyfriend or girlfriend? How long can you talk to him before you hear about him? Bet you haven't even opened your mouth yet. Hey, I got this, wow, I'm so excited about this new relationship. New believers are the best evangelists because they're so excited. They went from death to life. They went from being absolutely parched to, wow, this is the most refreshing drink I've ever had in my entire life. But us as believers can so forget that. He's the living water. I've read it a bunch of times. Out of our hearts will flow rivers of living water. And if it's not, it's an indication. It's a strong indication we're not drinking. We're relying on something in the past somewhere there. Are you experiencing this? Are you being filled? Are you delighting in God regularly and consistently? Putting ourselves in places to receive what He wants to give us. The Spirit flowing within. So much so that He's flowing out of us. Satisfying not only our thirst, but bubbling over and having impact around us. How are you doing with the water of life? Is He currently that to you? Or is this just a theological phrase? Is the water of life? Is this personal? Would you join me in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we recognize this from this passage and many others where the Christian life is a both end. It's a divine work, something You do in us. And it's something that we do. We put ourselves in a place. We develop disciplines that are life-giving, to remember to drink regularly is a discipline, physically. And to remember to drink regularly is a spiritual discipline as well. There's prayer, there's fasting, there's many spiritual disciplines, putting ourselves in places, repentance and confession, worship, praise, all of these potential to feed our soul, that we can drink deeply of You, know You more and more, experience You regularly as the life, the living water. And God, we pray that we would be so filled, Your Spirit would flow out of us and impact our community, those around us, our extended families. It's a divine work. And it's one we choose to partner with You on. God, would You lead us? Father, I pray if there's anyone here that's never tasted of You as the living water, like the woman at the well had not experienced You yet, that they would admit that need. Admit it to You, but also admit it to those around them. And they would surrender their lives and experience that life-giving water. Those of us who had known You for years, God, maybe we forgot just how refreshing You are in an ongoing way. We've distanced ourselves. We're trusting in something else. We're sucking on some other copper pipe or something, expecting that to fulfill us. Satisfy us. You are satisfying. May that be the reality of everyone's life in this coming week. As we come to You and drink, flow through us, Jesus. We pray in Your name. Amen.